Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be. What a thrill it is for us to be able to come your way once again with another edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. And along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. And, of course, we have with us also today Jim O'Brien, who is no longer really a stranger to us here at Stand in the Gap Today. He is an expert on national security and other things, and it's just a great thing to have him with us. And we are very, very thankful here at Stand in the Gap for the people God has led to us to give us different elements of insight and understanding as to what's going on in the world around us today. But wherever you folks may be today, and whether you are listening by the radio or the internet, we do thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And I want to encourage you to continue to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. And I encourage that for two reasons. Number one, it's at that site that you can correspond with us. And then secondly, it's at that site that you can have a link to our anchor station, which is WFYL in Philadelphia area, in the event that you cannot pick us up from your radio station because of being out of your area. If you have a computer, you can get us there. And so it's just a great thing to encourage you to go to that particular website. Again, it's standinthegapradio.com. Well, Sam and Dave and Jim, so many, many things going on in the world today. And as a result of what is going on in the world today, the presidential prayer team has actually issued a warning, a prayer alert for us to go to prayer for our nation. And I think that that was a pretty good thing. Of course, they preface their particular admonition or challenge for us to pray by saying that the Washington, D.C. is at risk from the next Islamic State attack. Supporters of an evil terror group have warned in unconfirmed tweets that Washington is coming. They go on to say that in a video gloating over the successes of the attacks in Paris that killed at least 129 people, ISIS armchair jihadists say they have three major capitals in their sights for the next attack: Washington, D.C., Rome, and London. And, of course, we talked about that, Sam and Dave and Jim, yesterday. But the prayer alert, the presidential prayer team, is calling for us to pray for three, or actually four things. Number one, for God's protection over America and freedom from fear of imminent ISIS actions in the United States. Number two, for law enforcement and intelligence agencies in the United States to apprehend ISIS operatives on American soil. Number three, that Americans would take the ISIS threat seriously. And number four, that we would pray about bringing Syrian refugees into the United States and the proper vetting process. Now, Sam, all four of those are very, very important prayer requests. And here at the American Pastors Network, we'd say yay and amen to all of those requests and to ask individuals to pray for those particular items. But let me ask you a question, Sam, on that third request they have, that Americans would take the ISIS threat seriously. Do you think the average American in the street, the average Christian in the pew, takes this ISIS threat seriously and knows what to do about it? Sam?
Gary, I'm not so sure, in fact, that they do. And I've had a great concern for a long time that many, many, many Americans, most, I'm not sure if I quantify that way, but perhaps most, have seemingly been asleep for a long time as to the potential not just about ISIS and what they may do. I think the issue is far bigger than that. And that is the fact that, you know, can America, can our nation, as a nation,
I'm wondering,
actually fall? Can our nation, as we have known the United States to be, cease to be? I think in our hearts, particularly when we have a couple generations of people who all they have ever known is the blessings of this land and all they've ever seen is what we have here, they can't envision that a nation, our nation, could actually fall. And whenever we hear individuals who have come to this country from other countries, come here for religious freedom reasons and that kind of thing, people who have lived under totalitarian regimes, they are the ones who seem to believe and sense that what's happening here is far more serious than what most people hear. So, Gary, so yes, I don't think that people take the ISIS threat seriously because they don't really believe at the end of the day that America could ever be anything other than it always has been. And that is my greatest fear for Americans themselves.
Jim, you know, as one who's in national security, I want to ask you your thoughts about this. And Dave, when Jim gets done, I think it would be appropriate for us to pray right here on the radio for the American nation and this prayer alert that went out. And I might ask you, if you would please, to pray for us. But before that, Jim, what are your thoughts? You work in national security. You have insights that probably most of us don't even know are there. Do you think that we are taking this ISIS threat seriously in our nation today?
I believe we're taking it more seriously than our president is. I guess I'd say that, but I think everything's relative. I mean, even up to the point of 9/11, when I was in the Pentagon during that particular day working, and I know as things were happening, we were tracking it in my office, watching various things happen, and I don't think a lot of people were really focused on, well, it could happen to us, but I did tell my own people, I said, I want you to put your classified materials in your safes in case we have to get out. I didn't know what was going to happen, and sure enough, about an hour later, we heard this huge explosion, and we were able to evacuate. But I do think it's what I would call we get comfortable, and then something happens, and then we have this tremendous rise. Remember in the front steps of the Capitol? The next day after 9/11, all the Democrats, Republicans, everybody under the sun joined hands and sang God Bless America. Remember that?
I remember that, sure do.
And how long did that last? Not long. Not long. And I think we always react. We don't act. We react. You know, one thing that I wanted to pass along to you, it's interesting that the next three targets of ISIS they announced were Rome and London and Washington. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they mention Tel Aviv, I wonder? Interesting. They're arch enemy. Maybe they're afraid that maybe they won't have success. Just a thought.
Dave, I'm going to ask you to hold off your prayer till we come back into the next segment because we're just about out of time. But that's an interesting question. Sam, why don't they consider Tel Aviv?
I think that answer is already self-explanatory because they know that they will be responded to in kind.
Right away.
Right away.
Right away. Absolutely. That's something very interesting to take into consideration. Well, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll ask Brother Dave, if he would, to lead us in prayer for our nation based upon the prayer alert that has been sent out by the presidential prayer team. Then we're going to talk a lot about some other things, particularly the refugees and how we should respond to them and all of that good stuff. So don't go away. We'll be back with more of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network after these messages.
Tax laws are changing. Do you know how to navigate these changes so you don't pay more taxes than needed? These are very confusing times for tax planning and preparation. Don't wait until April. Do your tax planning now before the end of the calendar year while changes can still be made. This is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Bloody Mary condemned over 300 people to be burned alive. She had been Queen of England for 5 years after her father, Henry VIII. Upon her death this day, November 17, 1558, her half-sister Elizabeth became queen and ruled 45 years, during which time Sir Francis Drake destroyed the Spanish Armada, Sir Walter Raleigh discovered Virginia, and Shakespeare advanced theater. Regarding her epitaph, Queen Elizabeth stated, "I am no lover of pompous title, but only desire a line or two which shall express my name, my virginity, the years of my reign, and the reformation of religion under it."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "We the people" didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a delight to have you with us here on Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. And Dave, before we went into the break, I had asked if you would be willing to pray for our nation based upon the prayer alert that has gone out from the presidential prayer team, and I think this is a great idea. And so before we go any further, would you mind leading our nation in prayer here over the Stand in the Gap today radio program?
Gary, it would be my delight to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your mercy. We thank you that you're a God of truth and justice without iniquity, just and right, the scripture says that you are. And Lord, we thank you that you've privileged us and honored us, graced us, Lord, to not only know you as our Lord and Savior, but to be called into the ministry to serve you. And Lord, on top of that, you have wonderfully afforded those of us on this program today and those listening here within the confines of the United States of America, you've afforded us the opportunity to live in what we sometimes call the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And Lord, we believe that to be the case because of your blessing. Yet, Lord, we've turned our back on you. And Lord, we have done everything it seems in our power as a nation, Lord, and our leaders represent this effort. We've done everything in our power to cut ourselves loose from you. We've stopped depending on you. We've stopped seeking your wisdom. And God, I pray you would forgive us for that. Have mercy upon our nation, Lord. And I pray that you would work in the lives of your people across this nation to turn us, Lord, in sincerity back to you. Father, work in the lives of our national leaders. Lord, help them to once again acknowledge their need for your wisdom, for your direction. Lord, forgive our leaders, Lord, for being so arrogant, so pompous, so narcissistic as to think that they don't need you. Lord, we keenly are aware of how much we need you. And so, Father, I pray that that would be echoed in the halls of Congress in Washington and certainly, Lord, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Father, cause our president and his administration to cease being so arrogant and understand how much they need you. Father, I pray in their lives you would bring about a Nebuchadnezzar moment, Lord, where our president is humbled and, Lord, he's willing to seek your face. Father, I do pray for this immediate threat, Lord, that is growing, it seems, by the day, called ISIS. Father, I pray for your protection on the United States of America. Father, I pray the magnitude and the reality of this that we face would be understood and, Lord, then be responded to appropriately by our national leadership. And, Father, I do pray for those refugees that are seeking asylum in this country, Lord, some of whom are totally legitimate. Father, give wisdom and give direction to our nation. And Lord, more importantly, to your church as to how we can effectively, correctly, appropriately, biblically, and Lord, safely deal with this crisis. Lord, for those that are attempting to come in with these refugees, and Lord, their entire desire is to perpetrate evil and Lord, to wreak havoc in the United States of America. Father, I pray you would keep them from doing that. Father, I pray a hedge of protection around our nation and around its peoples. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Give us wisdom today, Lord, as we discuss the refugee situation. And Father, I pray that once again, your men in the pulpit would rise to the forefront and stand up and speak. Give us, Lord, wisdom as we attempt to speak to this very important, critically important issue. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that very much. And talking about the refugees, this thing is just seemingly developing even as we speak. And about half of all governors in the United States do not want refugees from Syria. And, you know, that is made up not only of Republicans but also Democrats. However, here where we have our American Pastors Network headquarters in Pennsylvania, our governor, Tom Wolf, is welcoming them. And so far, we've accepted about 119 Syrian refugees into Pennsylvania this year. We've received about 14 of them since the 1st of October. We know that about 10 of them are in Pittsburgh. We don't really know where all of them are located across the state. And, you know, so, you know, Governor Tom Wolf here in Pennsylvania is going along with Barack Obama, like some of the other liberal governors are. There are, as I said, a number of governors who are working to try to keep this from happening. But, Sam, I have found out, and you know about this, I'm sure, and maybe Jim and Dave, you know about it as well. But from what I've been able to find out, governors cannot legally block refugees from coming into their state according to the Refugee Act of 1980. And from what I understand there is that that particular act prevents governors from legally blocking refugees from settling in their states in any way, shape, or form. Sam, what about that? I mean, this is a growing issue. We must be concerned, and we're going to be talking more about how we should handle these refugees. But what about the fact that you know, a lot of our governors do not want the refugees in their states, but they have to take into consideration the Refugee Act of 1980. Your thoughts? Are you familiar with that act?
Well, somewhat, Gary. And of course, that was done to prohibit discrimination, really, against legitimate. Again, a lot of it's going to come back to terminology on what really constitutes a legitimate immigrant, or are there other factors that are coming into this? I mean, the law did not at that point anticipate. In fact, that you could be relocating, let's put this frankly at this terms, enemy combatants. It did not anticipate that you would have a scenario under the law where individuals could actually come into the country where they would not have to learn how to assimilate and learn to speak English. And those basic things that used to be the kinds of things that immigrants had to do. We've gone so far down the road, Gary, that what the governors are now being forced to do is actually having to stand up and saying, wait a minute, there are some very obvious factors here from a safety perspective or other things that rises far and above what was ever anticipated in that original act. And I think that they're doing so on the basis of the 10th Amendment, perhaps, or the own common sense application of would they of good mind be able to legitimately relocate perhaps an enemy jihadist in their state, and at the same time be able to fulfill their oath of office is to protect the citizen of their state. I mean, the president, by doing what he is doing, is producing conflict in the very foundational aspects of justice and law, and he's causing division by what he's doing. But I think what he has attempted to do is, in fact, create division across the spectrum of public policy. So, but that's a long answer to that short question, Gary. They have a right, but their law never anticipated these kind of days.
Sam, I would like to just mention, I really wonder whether it's constitutional, based on the 10th Amendment, that leaves a lot of things to the states to decide. I'm just wondering what the circumstances were. That was when Jimmy Carter was just leaving, and Reagan was coming in. Am I correct there?
Yes, that's correct.
And perhaps we were thinking in terms of the Iranian Revolution at that time? I don't know. But I agree with you 100% that back then people were coming because of tyranny, and they were what I'll call refugees indeed, okay?
Yes.
But what we're seeing now is we're seeing young men, you know, 20 years old, 25, 28 years old, and the question is, why aren't they over there fighting for their freedom rather than coming over here and sort of watching it from afar? And Donald Trump has suggested that we go into a part of Syria and block it off for sort of a protected area where these people that are now flooding the world can actually set up a separate state where they can live in their own culture, live in their own language set, and you know, enjoy life there instead of being displaced thousands of miles.
And the same Donald Trump has also said that really what we're watching is the importation of Trojan horses.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so,
exactly.
You know, which is exactly what we're talking about. You know, they're not immigrants, in fact, refugees, in fact, they could be a whole lot more, and that's the concern of these governors.
Gentlemen, can I say this? If you guys will remember the name Miriam Ibrahim, the young lady who would not convert to Islam, she was forced to give birth to a baby in a horrible prison situation, and the Obama administration did nothing to try to get her to the United States of America and her young child that she had already had and the baby she was carrying in her womb. The Obama administration did nothing. So when the president talks about values and wanting to bring these immigrants here based on American values, where were his values, his American values, when it came to legitimately getting a specific woman here safely? Were it not for Christian ministries that went to bat for her to get her here, she would have died in that prison. So, gentlemen, it brings to light the insincerity of our president's statements and the dangerous nature of his actions.
But how are the governors going to work around this? You know,
Gary Lyman
is, you know, she's with the United States Committee for Refugees and Immigration. She's really pushing this. And yet, along with that, David, your own governor, the governor of North Carolina today, was saying that Barack Obama has the responsibility to protect his people from any kind of infringement, you know, that might destroy our nation. And he says, as the governor of North Carolina, I must protect my people as well. And I tell you what, hats off to him. And I don't think he's really a strong conservative governor, but my hat's off to him for that particular decision. So we're going to talk about this more, ladies and gentlemen, after the break. So stay tuned. This is the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Today radio program.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster.
This is a moment where it's better to be safe than to be sorry.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says we should temporarily stop Syrian refugees from entering the United States. A vote on that's expected Thursday. It's believed that one of the terrorists who attacked Paris Friday entered France as a Syrian refugee. California Democrat Javier Becerra.
Stop making people feel like they're bad simply because they happen to be coming from the same country that there's so much turmoil in. Do not paint people with a broad brush.
Around 2,000 refugees have come to the U.S. from Syria since the civil war started there 4 years ago. The actor Charlie Sheen announces,
I am, in fact, HIV positive.
He says on NBC's Today show he's paid millions to people threatening to tell.
I released myself from this prison today.
He says he was diagnosed with HIV about 4 years ago and that he hasn't spread the virus to anyone else. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There's pending legislation in Harrisburg that threatens religious liberty, putting at risk Christian schools, faith-based ministries, and even Christian-run businesses. The proposal is called the Fairness Act, but in truth what it would do is equate the biblical view of human sexuality, specifically in the area of marriage, as the same as racial bigotry. Christian schools would be severely restricted in hiring decisions and policies, and no longer be free to make those decisions based on scriptural perspectives on marriage. Professional licenses would be denied to people who refuse to agree that the union of two men or two women is the same as marriage between a man and a woman. School locker rooms and public restrooms will be forced to open to people of the opposite sex who identify otherwise. Bottom line, the bills are dangerous to religious liberty and tolerance. Take action by finding out more at our website at pafamily.org and going to our Citizen Action Center.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dull. We also have Jim O'Brien with us today, and we are talking about this growing situation with the Syrian refugees. According to a report that came out earlier, as we stand now, as it relates to the Syrian refugees in the United States, we have 2,098 Muslims and 53 Christians. And, of course, you know, that's just a statistic that somebody's thrown out there, and we totally don't understand or know how accurate that may be. But this is becoming a huge situation. And Sam, I want to ask you, and let's try to bring this whole thing into perspective, and Jim even has some suggestions on how we can handle this from the government's perspective. But Sam, our Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift up my lamp beside the golden door. How do we interpret what's going on today? Let me put it this way. How do we apply what's going on today with these refugees and still interpret that statement that's on the Statue of Liberty in the proper way? Sam?
Gary, I think in simple terms, you know, that is a statement we've often read because it's really distributed. It's really enunciated the attitude of this country to those who have been beleaguered and those who want a place to go. That all is good. That's why we can obviously say that we are a country made up of immigrants. We are. But there is an assumption underpinning that, that really those who come, come not to seek and destroy, but come to contribute, come to be a part, come to assimilate. And what we have and are witnessing now under the Islamic invasion are not people who are coming with that the statement that you read that's on the Statue of Liberty. That's not an all and part of what it is. They're not coming with the intent to assimilate. They're coming with the intent not to assimilate, bringing not a love of the Constitution and the Judeo-Christian God and a view of justice, but Sharia law. They are not coming to be a part of the American culture. They're coming to destroy the American culture. And the problem that complicates that is that our president, those who are in play, those in positions of enforcing the law, are clearly circumventing the law. They're not doing any of those things to bring in people or to encourage people who have historically done those things. And that's why the president can say, hey, how can you say there can be a differentiation? What do you mean we can't bring in Muslims? That's un-American. Well, frankly, to bring in anyone who is as at their heart in competition and in conflict with what we are is, in fact, wrong to do. So that's why I just put some of those thoughts on the table here.
I think those are good. Those are some good thoughts. And Dave, before we went into the break, I had to cut you off there because we were up against the break. And so I forgive. Yeah, I apologize if you'll forgive me. Why don't you go ahead and complete the sentence that you were giving us at that time?
Well, Gary, what I was going to say is this Refugee Act of 1980 does create some difficulty on the part of these 26 or 27 state governors that have said we do not want refugees coming into our state. And from a legal perspective, Gary, at this point, that Act of 1980 places the responsibility for refugees coming here firmly in the hands of the federal government. So are these states going to be able to legally prevent refugees from coming to their states? Maybe not. However, the fact that these governors are doing this courageous thing, and I believe a very correct thing, including our North Carolina governor, Pat McCrory, who has not been traditionally a really aggressively strong leader, but in this, he has stepped up to the plate, for which I'm thankful. But what they can do, what Governor McCrory and the other governors can do, is make the process of getting these refugees into specific states very, very difficult. It slows the process down. It makes it much more difficult. And the other thing, Gary, is this. Paul Ryan, the new Speaker of the House, has proposed that some legislation may be passed in the House by the end of the week, if not before, relative to this refugee crisis that may be an additional loophole, or excuse me, additional hurdle, rather, that will have to be jumped over to bring inappropriate refugees into this country. So all of that can slow the process down. But I agree completely with Sam. That statement on the Statue of Liberty did not envision anything remotely close to what we see happening today with people intent on destroying America coming in as a quote-unquote refugee.
Dave, you know, the number now has gone up to 29 as of, I guess, about 30 minutes ago. So the majority of governors now, most of them, many of them Republican and also a couple of Democrats, are now saying that they do not plan to admit these refugees. Now, what I'm guessing, knowing Mr. Obama, he will attach some dollar bills as sort of a, what's the right word, an incentive to
bribe?
States that...
Bribe?
A bribe, I guess I was going to not use that word, but it's what it really would be, a federal bribe to accept these people. But, you know, on our coins, we have this term e pluribus unum, which means in many, one. You know, we come in and we form this melting pot. But what we find with these kinds of people, these folks that have this particular belief, they set up their own communities, they want to speak their own language, they want to have their own justice system, so they're really a country within a country. If you go look at South Africa, there's a couple little countries down there, Lesotho and a couple of other little ones that are self, they're like this little puka down there, this little circle with maybe, you know, 50,000 people living there, and they're just totally independent. They haven't integrated with South Africa, they're just there. And I think that's what's going to happen with America if we have these people come in. So I really think it doesn't seem to be compatible with our Constitution, the way things are set up. I would also like to briefly mention, Gary, if you don't mind, the fact that President Hollande, who is the president of France, has indicated today that he will be traveling to the U.S. on the 24th of November to discuss with the president. My hope and prayer is that by that time our president will understand a little bit more clearly what needs to be done. So let's be in prayer about that. And then 2 days after that, he leaves the U.S. and flies to Russia. It's interesting. he's taking the initiative. That's something we should be doing. And then I say to myself, what happened to NATO? You know, when I worked in the Pentagon, NATO, a lot of folks would say under their breath, oh, you mean no action, talk only? You know, that's sort of what...
It seems that way.
A lot of people used to call NATO that, but I certainly wouldn't do that.
No, never.
But the point is that we form NATO to enable nations of the NATO partnership to support one another when one of them is attacked. And, of course, France is a member of NATO, the United States is a member of NATO, and so is Turkey. Mm-hmm. And I don't see why we can't enforce Section 5 and make this a NATO action. And, of course, the U.S. would be brought into it. Maybe that's what's slowing it down because Barack doesn't want it.
Well, you know, you just took the words right out of my mouth. Okay. Is it Barack or Barry or whoever he is that doesn't want it? I mean, you know, we've talked about this on this program before, and Sam has brought this up numerous times, that it is Vladimir Putin who right now is looking like the strong leader in the world today. And, you know, it's as though Obama is saying, well, if Russia wants to go into Syria – if Russia wants to destroy ISIS, let them do it. We'll just sit back and watch them do it. You know, that is not good for the United States of America as being the leader in the world, in the free country, in the free world.
Yeah, we're watching in heavy lenses, as they say, you know, and let me know what happens. I'll be watching, you know, kind of thing. That's not leadership at all.
Yeah, and Sam, I ask you, you know, if Vladimir Putin gets in there and is the one who really – does what he can to bring down ISIS and Syria and so forth and so on, what does that do to the United States of America as being the superpower of the world?
Well, Gary, the United States is forfeiting its position as both the moral leader and the military superpower of the world, and it is handing it over to Vladimir Putin in Russia. He is the strong man in the Middle East, and the mentality of the Arab nations are to go to the strong man. That means not us, not Obama. That means Vladimir Putin. That's why Iraq has said, offer us help. That's why President Erdogan in Turkey is urging a coming together with who? Vladimir Putin, to answer this issue of ISIS. Amazing. And that's why others are urging the United States and Russia, yes, really, to stand together and work together on this. Really, gentlemen, I propose something here, that while the Iran bomb deal was underway and we were watching what was taking place there, that quietly Russia made its entrance into the Middle East. And while that was going on and all attention was on that, what was developing was the Eurasia a group of China and India and Russia working now with Afghanistan. They're assembling a coalition of Eastern members that are coming together. And I submit that right now, while the attention of the world is on ISIS, that in fact you're watching Vladimir Putin doing the things behind the stage. He has strengthened his position, and it is not good for free country, not for freedom as we know it in this world.
So I ask the question in light of that, is ISIS the real enemy? Think about that, folks. We'll talk about that and some other things when we come back. We do need to take this hard break, so stay tuned. You're listening to Stand in the Gap for Faith and Freedom right here from the American Pastors Network today. Don't go away. We've got much more to talk about. Stay tuned.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In Psalm 39:7, King David said, "My hope is in the Lord." David's hope wasn't some idle wish. It was a solid confidence that kept him going in the worst of times. Where's your hope? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Having a fixed and certain hope in the Lord is beyond value and measure in our walk with God. It's said that if you take away a man's wealth, you'll hinder him. If you take away a man's purpose, you'll slow him. But if you take away a man's hope, you'll stop him. That's why our personal walk with God must be more than theory. It must be more than a once-a-week prayer or an occasional Bible reading. Our walk with God must revolve around the person of Jesus Christ and a daily walk led of the Spirit of God, not of our ambitions, our goals, or our finances. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network. Can you say with the psalmist, "I will be unmoved because my hope is in the Lord"?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, folks, it would be great if you could listen to what we're talking about off air. We've often mentioned that, and there's so much to talk about. We want to sort of try to zero things in here. Now, I asked the question before we went into the break, that is ISIS the real enemy? And I personally think that ISIS is just the tip of the iceberg, that we are dealing with Islam. We're dealing with a culture that wants to destroy anything that's not Muslim. And I would say that, you know, ISIS is just the tip of the iceberg. ISIS is doing what it's doing because of the wickedness of Islam, in my personal opinion. And what we're going to do this particular segment is, toward the end of the segment, I'm going to ask Dave Kistler, if he can, to give us a biblical approach to how we ought to handle the Syrians, but I should say the refugees. But it's interesting to note that the Russians right now are really blaming this downed aircraft on ISIS, simply because of the fact that a couple of the airport workers placed a bomb on that down plane. Now, folks, we've had Jim O'Brien with us a good number of times, and I said he's a national security expert, but he is also the independent overseer of screening of checked baggage for commercial airlines in the United States of America. He's the guy in the nation that's in charge of overseeing all of this that is put into the baggage compartment of the airplanes in which this wherein this particular bomb was placed. Jim, I just want you to share some thoughts on that. How can this whole idea of airplane safety be increased and improved?
Well, Homeland Security, as soon as we had 9/11, of course, all of a sudden we got sort of quote unquote religion, you know. And it was an emergency. And so the Homeland Security was formed. Remember, the department didn't exist before a lot of this stuff happened. And they also set up a system of bomb detection testing to make sure that our technology kept a jump ahead of what people that were trying to defeat us were trying to do. And it seems like we continue to learn after the fact, like the shoe bomber, now that you can't put, wear your shoes, you've got to have to take them off. Then somebody tried to take a liquid thing on, now you can't take liquids. And what we're trying to do is to get ahead of the situation so that we're not going to be having bombs bringing our aircraft down. We have a rather stringent set of rules for how these things are tested, and obviously I'm not going to discuss that on the air, but every single screening system, now I don't oversee the handheld stuff. When you go through right, that little thing. I'm talking about checked baggage, where you put it in and it goes down into the bowels of the airport and it gets screened in these huge multi-million dollar machines. That's the machinery I oversee. Mm-hmm. And it has to pass three things. One, you have to have a certain level of detection, mm-hmm. and of course, again, that's also sensitive. Then also you need to have a certain level of false alarms. In other words, you've got to be below a certain level or else the machine is going to delay your takeoff and you'll never get in the air. Mm-hmm. Then the third thing is you must have a certain throughput so that, you can get the luggage through the system and onto the plane. The plane can take off. But we're noticing that the enemy is getting more creative because they're learning, how these things work. In fact, they end up buying some of these systems, I'm sure. And they're testing them and challenging them to see where they can get on board. And I think that's what's happened with this Russian aircraft. It was an Airbus, a large one, and not the biggest one, but one of the large ones. So we need to be vigilant. And it takes work. It's a lot of work. I mean, the testing, we have over 1,000 bags that we use to test. And all different kinds of explosives. And That's about all I can tell you on the air.
You know, one of the things I understand that, but one of the things that concerns me is are the individuals tested?
The
I'm talking about the people that work around the airplanes.
Well, that's interesting. I was out at Reagan Airport about a week and a half before 9/11.
Hello. Dave, are you still there with us on the program? I think we may have lost Gary and Jim.
Sam, I am. I'm aboard. I think we had a technical issue, but go ahead.
Well, Dave, why don't you, while they were completing that conversation, I know that Gary wanted you, and which I would like to have you as well, take and wrap up really a lot of this discussion that we've been having here today about really what should be done and how we should address biblically this whole matter of Syrian refugees. We need some moral clarity, some constitutional clarity, some biblical clarity in these times when there appear to be so many opinions. There's got to be more than opinions that are brought to bear at this point. Perhaps you could just take and move into that here right now as we work down towards the end here.
Yes, Sam, I'd be delighted to. There are principles found. There are principles found within the context of Scripture, and Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, as well as Deuteronomy 10:19 and others, make statements like this, Sam. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. So there is a prescription given, a general principle of treatment of those that are foreigners, those that are immigrants to a country. And obviously, as you said earlier, Sam, we have been a nation of immigrants. We've accepted immigrants who have determined to come here legitimately to become a part of this nation and not to destroy the nation. In correlation with that, we have Romans 13, 1 through 7 that says that governmental authorities are a terror to evil works and to be a supporter of good works. That, in other words, they are to praise the good, to punish the evil. Sam, it is not a distant extrapolation to draw from that passage the fact that if governmental authority is to protect its citizenry, which is what Romans 13 clearly says, then it is the responsibility of government to keep out illegal drugs, weaponry, disease, theft, anything that is going to be detrimental to the citizenry of a country, part of which is an ideology, Sam, that doesn't come into a nation necessarily in a book or in any other means. It comes in the heart of an individual who is bent on destroying America. Is it then the responsibility of a government to protect its citizenry from people who bear in their heart and in their soul an ideology that is detrimental and destructive to the country? The answer to that is a resounding yes. So while we are a nation of immigrants, at the same time, we do not just accept people out of a compassionate heart and ignore the evil that's in their heart. No, we protect the people from that kind of evil.
Well, and that, of course, is the government's responsibility, no doubt about it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to pray for the United States of America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our safety. Pray for pastors. Pray for Christians that we might stand for truth and stand biblically. We want to thank you very, very much for being with us today on Stand in the Gap. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow for the Wednesday edition. And until then, on behalf of Sam Rohrer and Dave Kistler and Jim O'Brien, I'm Gary Dull saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because remember, the best is yet to come. This has been Stand in the Gap, radio program from the American Pastors Network.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohrer, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.